I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm in my drop top, cruising the streets.
Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I was thinking about coming out of the shoot here and telling y'all about my new boots that I got on, but y'all want to talk about puppy chow?
Wait, what is that, ostrich?
Hell no, it's python.
It's Sterney's Daily.
Before we get to that boner.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
And joining us now, Dirty's Daily, is our guy, Brandon Scott. I'm going to step out of the studio here after this Dirty's Daily. B. Scott's going to take over and run with this thing, so I greatly appreciate that. Today, I'm going to tell you one thing, B. Scott. I always enjoy your coverage of everything, Houston, but I've enjoyed recently the coverage, daily coverage, of the Rockets and what all's going on. I know you're jumping on the socials quite often, but the coverage of the Rocket stuff is really good on B Block, man. So this Dirty's Daily, Dirty's Daily right here today, powered by B Block.
Hey, I like that.
Tell them folks where we can find it.
Yeah, so the B Block podcast you can find on YouTube and both Spotify and Apple, really wherever it is you get your podcast. I'm still working out a schedule, but I can tell you I'm doing something at least every day.
Yeah.
At least every day now. And if I miss a day, I'll let you know. If I miss a day, it's because I'm doing something else, right? So at least 4 to 5 times a week and trying to do something every day. It's Rockets. It's Texans. I'm going to do a little college football tonight, you know, with the, you know,
college ball playoff rankings.
With the playoff rankings coming out. And all of this conversation, obviously Lane Kiffin moving.
Yeah.
So, like, we got a lot to talk about.
Yeah, we do. And the B-Block podcast covers it all. And if you're looking for frequency, hell, he's going to be there now. And,
yes, sir.
And so plug into that podcast, no doubt about it. Speaking of college football, we just got through with a conversation. I think your opinion would probably carry a little more weight than at least Ron and I's, because we don't have any skin in the game in a sense of being a Longhorn or an Aggie. But we were having a conversation, B. Scott, the Longhorn-Aggie rivalry or the Longhorn-OU rivalry, which one is bigger, being a Longhorn fan that you are?
Yeah, so just to be clear, I'm a T-shirt Longhorn fan, just to be, you know, transparent about that. I didn't go to Texas. I'm a Sam Houston State
Sam
Bearcat.
Houston. That's all right.
But I rooted for the Longhorns long before I even knew what college actually was, much less that I would really go.
Yeah.
So it means that much to me. And look, I think we can be real about this, man. And I don't know if Tyler's willing to, because he's an actual Aggie. But if we're just being real about it.
It may not be real to him.
For our life. So Tyler turns 30. And happy birthday, by the way, to Tyler. Turns 35 today.
Appreciate you, bruh.
I'm 36. So Tyler and I are roughly basically the same age. For our lifetime and for the bulk of it, OU's actually been the better program out of the three that we're talking about here. Like, it's actually been a better program than both Texas programs, I would argue. Now, I understand, of course, Texas does have their national championship, but if we're just looking at it in its totality, OU's actually been the better program, and I think that's why the game against Texas, or the Texas game against OU, the Red River rivalry, as they call it, has more of a national cachet and appeal to it. The reason why Ron thinks about that one, not being from Texas, thinks about that game more than he does Texas, Texas A&M, because he's not local. Like, the Texas A&M rivalry is a hyper-local rivalry, right? As you were talking about, you got to hear about it at Thanksgiving or at the barbershop or wherever it is that you go, right? Whereas with the OU thing, it's a more wide-ranging rivalry, and I think OU's more recent success puts more weight on it. And
we're just being real. Stakes, yeah. Right? There's been more stakes between those two in those games
for every Longhorn that wants to tell you that A&M is the little brother, OU at times, especially recently, has been able to, now not the last couple of years here, but has been able to kind of look at it that way of like, oh, Texas is the little brother.
We're Bob Stoops got there.
Yeah. So I think that's got a lot to do with it. The reason why you would rather lose to OU than to A&M isn't necessarily a compliment to A&M. No disrespect, Tyler. But it's just the fact that you view A&M as a lesser opponent than you normally do as OU. Right or wrong, I think until A&M took that jump to the SEC, they were for a while looked at as the, you know, the third wheel, if you will.
Right.
Out of the three.
Are they climbing out of that with this win?
I thought it started with the Manziel year. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you know, and they beat LSU and Manziel wins the Heisman. And
Alabama,
it's like, that's what I mean. They beat Alabama.
Aggie ring, baby.
And
that guy right there.
And Manziel wins the Heisman. And it's like, oh, okay, A&M is here. A&M is like a serious outfit. Now, they've been a little bit up and down since then, but this year,
I'm a party boy.
Yeah, I think this year adds to the case. I think they're much more peers now than they ever were.
All right, that's Brandon Scott, Sports Radio 610, alongside Ron the Show Ugly, T. Mills behind the glass. I'm Clint Sterner. You're listening to Sports Radio 610, Houston's sports leader. It is a tape drop Tuesday, and I think one big question going into the game Sunday was C.J. Stroud going to show any signs of rust after being on the shelf for 3 weeks and missing three games? Was the rust there?
Stroud House.
We've talked about it. I did not think there was much there based on what I saw. Hell, I'll be honest with you. The interception that he threw was one I chalked up to. Hey, man, it was a bad decision. You know, he's not real 3 weeks out. You're not making great decisions. I'll be honest with you. I watched tape drop Tuesday. I hate it. But I hate to tell y'all out there, it was a piss-poor throw. It was not a bad decision. This is a throw that C.J. Stroud makes in his sleep typically, and it was not a bad decision. The linebacker's running vertical with his back to the quarterback. It was the right decision. It was a throw that he can make all day, and he just overthrew it. He just missed it. Didn't have anything to do with rust. That's that specific play.
It just sailed on him, Clint?
It just sailed on him. He just missed. He read it right, but he just threw it too high. Should have threw it. I mean, you know, his miss was underneath. Like the line that the receiver built for you or drew for you, you either throw it on that line or you bring him back downhill. And he did the one thing you can't do, which was throw it over the top. And the only guy that was any danger of breaking that play up was the guy that was standing 5 yards behind the DB. I mean, that's a throw in the ocean, easy, tiptoe out of bounds, 20-plus yard gain, 9 times out of 10 with C.J. Stroud. So just a bad throw right there. You can say that's rust because of maybe missing the reps physically. When I was talking about rust, I was talking about more about processing and the wheels turning internally. But I'll tell you this after watching the film, and this is not – I want everybody to know when I'm breaking this film down, I firmly believe that C.J. Stroud had a tremendous game given that it was his first game back, given the magnitude of the game and the defensive coordinator. However, it's my duty on a tape drop Tuesday to let you know what I saw. And the truth of the matter is C.J. Stroud left a lot on the field on Sunday. And I think that conversation has to start with the red zone struggles, right? And we all look at it. There were 7 plays, I think, inside the 20-yard line on that first drive. And in the first drive, I believe, of the second half, they drive right back down there. And it's another opportunity to score points, and we don't get it done. The red zone struggles, right, are no longer Nick Caley's struggles. The red zone struggles are squarely on the team. And in this case, largely due to C.J. Stroud, what I'll chalk up to being rust.
In this game, that's what
in this game, there were, if he trusted his eyes, and if he just let it rip, in certain situations. He fits tight balls into windows. There's available targets. They're there. The plays are designed. It just doesn't look as clear. It looks a lot more clear when you're between the 20s than when you're in the red zone, right? And that is, to me, that is where CJ hesitated. It's where CJ didn't trust his eyes. It's where CJ didn't trust his pre-snap read and just stick with it and go with it. It's where he held the football. The two sacks that they did have, both of those are on CJ. Both of them. One of them's obvious before the field goal he ran into it, but the other one, he should have got the ball out. There was three receivers open underneath. And I think big picture, just generally speaking, I think CJ Stroud is late on a ton of throws. Even some of them that turn out to be really good ones and positive plays, he's late on right now. Now today, fellas, I'm gonna chalk that up to being rust. Right? It's only fair thing to do given what we've watched from CJ Stroud, what we know he's capable of doing, and that we know he just sat on the shelf for a month before playing. But these are situations that they're gonna have to get fixed. And they're going to have to get them fixed in this week against Kansas City. They can beat Arizona. They can beat Las Vegas. Hell, they can beat Indy, obviously. I think you have a hard time beating Pat Mahomes and this defense with these particular problems. So CJ's got to get this. He's got to eliminate the sacks when he can. He's got to be better in the red zone. And I think all in all, when the rust is off, I think he'll be better just in rhythm in this offense of getting the ball to the open receivers because they're there. And so I go from talking about C.J. Stroud's struggles to I got to tip my cap once again to Nick Caley. If I'm going to hammer his ass for 8 weeks, when it's rough for 8 weeks, we're going to come in here and I'm going to do it, then I'm going to do it every week that it's really good. I thought Nick Caley was really good, guys. I thought he was really good throughout the game. And I think it showed. There's opportunities for the quarterback to win, which CJ did a lot of, but there's opportunity for him to win more with Nick Caley on the ones and twos.
Like we talked about it. You know, none of that stuff is surprising to me.
Shouldn't be.
Like, hey, man, I haven't played for about a month. And with his injury, there's probably a good chunk of it where he wasn't getting out throwing.
Yep.
Like, he had to be –
no question.
Secluded. And you would think maybe some timing may be off a little bit. So, to me, it isn't surprising. And you would assume that this would improve and get better as he continues to get reps.
Well, that's the thing, Ron, is we chalk it up fairly, and I think rightfully so, chalk it up to rust, the injury, the time off right now. But there is a dynamic that Nick Caley – CJ Stroud, this is still something new. And you think about it, since I think Nick Caley's found himself and like really kind of got into a groove, since this offensive line has found itself and got into a groove, CJ hadn't experienced that. Like CJ wasn't a part of that. This all happened within the last month, you could argue. And so that time on task that they always talk about, how much time has CJ had with this version of this offensive line, with this version of Nick Caley? The key is, you know, at some point, you got to shake all that rust off, and you got to get these things right. And I think one of them is this weekend against the Chiefs. I know the Chiefs have not had the ideal season. I know the record will tell you it's not the ideal season. This is still a team that I don't want. If I can help it, I don't want this thing to be a one-score game in the fourth quarter with Pat Mahomes on the other side. I don't want them to have a lead and us have to go get field goals and touchdowns late to win this thing with Pat Mahomes over there. I don't want to put this game on our defense, wholeheartedly, solely on our defense, if we can help it. And so I think these are things that if C.J. Stroud can just make a little ground up on and get better, this offense can get to humming.
Yeah, I'll trust your eyes and expertise and experience on the timing stuff, on him being a little late on some stuff. I thought just from the layman's eye that he was fine, like imperfect but fine. And I say fine because he did make some really crucial throws and some really impressive throws. Like when you talk – like you're getting a little bit more into – some of the granular points of playing the position.
Yeah.
But when you just look at a talent that's just obvious to the naked eye sort of thing, he had about at least three of those where it's like, oh, that's the reason why that's the starter. Even if the timing is off, even if he's rusty, even if he's just coming off of a concussion, this is why you still prefer to have this guy out there. And so I thought the balance of that of, you know, the obvious one was the interception that looked like a sailed ball. And what's going on?
It. You're right.
So it's like, okay,
it happens.
You know, aside from a play here or there, you know, the from the offensive side overall, some of the illegal procedures, the illegal formation stuff that they had going on, that was really frustrating to watch. Yep. But overall, I thought he was fine and had some moments that were special. So the things that worried me most, though, from hearing you and even before you said this, were the exact things you said. The red zone stuff.
Yep.
Okay, and the sacks, when it comes to C.J. Stroud specifically, like he takes some really bad sacks at times.
And everything you mentioned right there, B. Scott, is it's a mental game, right? It's a hey, we saw Daniel Jones, as bad as he is, we saw him do it. Like we dialed up a pressure and he had a free runner and he just gave up on the play and threw it away immediately.
Yeah.
Right? Like C.J. Stroud, if it's not there, I think he's seeing the rush, which again is part of rust. I think he's seeing the rush, the defensive pass rush that is part of rust. But like his ability to go, okay, this play's sped up, it's a little bit cloudy, let me get this thing down underneath. There's three wide open receivers running underneath and you're taking a sack or you're throwing it away out of the back of the end zone kind of deal.
Which bothers me because isn't that what the offense is even supposed to be?
But the game's moving really, really fast for him. I think you made the great point, and that's never more apparent than when you get the red zone. Right, what we're talking about, the game speeding up. But I think you make a great point. We talked about this yesterday. Is C.J. Stroud makes three or four throws in a game where you go, that's a high level NFL starting caliber quarterback right there. And there's no. My point is that several of those throws, if he'd have just saw it and threw it on time, he wouldn't have relied. He wouldn't have had to rely on that big time throw. The more he can live in that effortless comfort zone. Then forcing balls and making these crazy throws. The throw to Cade Stover on the bootleg where he puts it right on the money. That's money. I mean, that's elite, sick. That's elite crazy stuff. Right? It's crazy. So those things are something you never worry about with CJ. It's about how high can the ceiling be for this offense. And if he can clean some of these things up, if it's just in the red zone, if he can clean some of these things up, man, we're talking an offense that can score points and score points in a hurry. Because moving the ball between the 20s, really wasn't a problem for him, right? It was bogging down inside the 20-yard line and having plenty of hell. Like I said, they had seven snaps at it in that first drive and didn't get it in. So, you know, that's a big problem. Last but not least, the O-line, Ron, I know you've talked about this. They found their five in the offensive line.
Sure appears like it.
Everybody's talked about the Ingram play where he lit up the linebacker. There's a couple of plays where, I mean, Trent Brown and Ingram and Andrews just absolutely – collapse the right side of the defensive line, and whether it was a run or pass protection, it's good to see that versus what I've seen in the past with the Texans offensive line, right? It's just when you watch the Texans offensive line in the past, you never see that, but yet the coach is talking about being physical. The coach is talking about finishing. I'm just like, coach, there's no way. We're watching the same film. I don't see it. There's no way. You got to be pissed off, right? Now we're seeing guys accomplish that, and it's fun to watch.
Can I point out, since you did it earlier, about the sacks that were in this past game, C.J. Stroud's fault the week before, the game before against the Bills, no sacks, right? So that's just all I'm illustrating there is back-to-back weeks with a new offensive line where they're really not giving up sacks.
Yeah.
Didn't give up any in the one game, and then in the next game where C.J. Stroud does have them, they're really kind of on the quarterback.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, there's only the one. The one where Ed Ingram got his ass kicked. That's the only one. The other one you could say
I'm going to tell you he could have avoided it.
Yeah, he got beat pretty quick. There was a quick swing move, real quick.
Ed Ingram gets the most grace, right? Because he wanted the dogs out there.
One bad moment, but overall. All right, coming up, watching the Rockets last night, something really jumped out to me. I promise you, no one has talked about this today. I'll put both of my balls on the line. Nobody.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. and then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
I said that, Tyler. Nobody.
Hold on, Joe.
We'll do that coming up next.
I don't see no bitches nowhere around here.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, Clint is out. Going to go celebrate his daughter's birthday. B. Scott's in the building the rest of the way. Tyler, it's his birthday too now. 35 years old in the building.
Welcome to this side.
He said he's got margaritas and fajitas at El Tiempo.
Calling my name.
First place I ate when I moved here.
Oh, yeah.
I came to visit. First place I ate when I came to visit.
Can't go wrong with El Tiempo.
Happy birthday to him. Hey, guys, you will not believe this. Now, this is not what I teased that I put my balls on the table for. But
you got to clarify that.
But you won't believe this, guys. This coming from Oshams. Shams Charania, ESPN. New Orleans Pelicans star Zion Williamson has a grade 2 right hip adductor
strain. Oh my
strain.
God.
He has already missed 11 games earlier this season and will be reevaluated in 3 weeks. He's going to miss at the very least 3 weeks. You might as well tack on a couple more.
Yeah.
Probably a month plus. He's 25, averaging 22.5 in 10 games he's played, but stop traffic, Zion Williamson is injured.
Yeah, rinse, wash, repeat, you know, like an update. You know, this is kind of just his thing, man, and he's really good when he plays.
Damn it. I mean,
but this
I
is just
am
not,
shocked.
This is a shock. And then that it's a hip abductor?
Yep.
Yeah.
This is beginning. This is worse than Mike Trout.
Well, because Mike Trout at least got to be great at one point.
I'm just saying.
This guy
he
really
seems
hasn't.
To get injured more than Mike does.
I've
now,
fallen,
I know Mike gets hurt, but it just,
I
mean, it seems to be. In a shorter period of time.
But Mike didn't start getting hurt until he was already one of the all-time greats.
Yes, I know.
Zion absolutely has potential to be one of the all-time greats if he could just stay on the court, but he absolutely cannot.
But I just say it like Tyler basically does it every year. Just be patient. Mike's going to go down. And he says he doesn't, but he seems to get enjoyment out of it. Mike's going to go down. Just be patient. Just wait it out.
Death, taxes, and Mike Trout.
And then Mike with
getting
the
hurt.
Yeah.
Shut down for the season. Yeah, I mean, that is what we see a lot of. So Zion, he's out. He's out a while.
Yeah.
As usual. All right.
Yeah, as if things aren't already bad enough for the Pelicans. They don't have Zion.
Yeah. All right. B. Scott, Tyler, people, you can chime in on this conversation. 713-572-4610. That's how you text in. Remember, coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, your chance to win a pair of tickets, front row seats in the bullpen for the Cardinals game coming up at NRG. So I'm watching the Rockets and the Jazz last night. last night was a that Monday Night Football game was an ass kicking. So slid right over to the NBA. Shout out to NBC and also the Rockets jumping on as well. Caught the Lakers a little bit later on. They'll figure into this thought as well.
Yeah.
So I'm watching the game, and many of you watched the Rockets as well. I still believe the team with the best opportunity to win a championship in this city.
Them and the Cougs, U of H.
And yes, they lost last night. Yep, fortunately, who cares? The thing that really stuck out to me, Tyler, and I've been thinking about this for a long time, and I've been watching. I watch a lot of NBA. There's a renaissance occurring right now in basketball. And I don't even want to just stop it to the NBA. But there is a renaissance occurring in basketball. And it is the return of white guys.
Hold up.
Hey, man, it is strong. Now, many of you didn't watch it. Didn't watch it, not watching it the way I do. I will be honest. I'm not going to say all black folks are the same. I do believe a lot of black folks notice how many black people are in rooms a lot more than I think white folks do.
Yeah. Unless you walk
So I understand why maybe you didn't view it.
Unless you walk into an all black room and are expected to.
Yes.
Yeah. But in normal public places. Yeah.
Tyler, half the starters on the field or on the court last night were white. Now, maybe not all of them are Americans, but still half the. When is the last time you've watched an NBA game and half the starters were white?
The shorts were a lot shorter.
You weren't. You're 35. You weren't watching it.
Yeah.
They had the Rockets had Şengün out there. They had Reed Shepard. Not to mention they bring Steven Adams off the bench.
Right.
The Jazz had Markkanen, Svi Mykhailiuk. I know him very well. He's from Ukraine.
Yeah.
And he is. Go listen to him speak when he first arrived at Kansas and go listen to him now. He's been influenced.
Yeah.
Who else did they have in there? And they had another. They had five. Yeah, they had those five out there.
Yeah.
But then the Jazz bring out Kevin Love.
Yeah.
They bring out Filipowski.
Yeah.
They had Nurkic. Nurkic is a starter.
Yeah.
Nurkic is a starter.
Grayson Allen is in Phoenix now, but he was there, I feel like, at one point.
There are eight guys on the floor, eight white bodies that got significant action in that game.
This was in Utah, right?
I don't care where it is.
I'm just saying.
Still, nonetheless, there were eight guys. I'm sorry. And I've been thinking this for a long time. Why? Because you know what I did? Later on, I watched the Lakers, Tyler. They ran five guys out there at once. Five white guys out at once. Five. Five starters.
Austin Reeves, Tyler, as a hooper.
Yep.
Luka, Austin Reeves, Dalton Connect got run last night. This was a starting. JJ thinks he's slick. I know what you're doing out here, JJ.
JJ's inspired.
He did. And they had
this is not the league that JJ played in.
No.
JJ had to scrap for his.
That Jake Laravia. Laravia.
Yeah.
And then they had Kleber.
Max Kleber, yeah.
They had five white guys all on the court at once.
It is a renaissance.
And I'm happy for it. I love inclusion. I want many people like Tyler, the fighting young Tylers, to feel like I can do it.
Yeah.
I can't.
Feisty faces.
Like, we were, man, I'm used to, go look at the Dallas Mavericks lineup or their roster. That's the rosters I'm used to. It's Cooper Flagg. Yeah, you got a couple of mixed guys in there.
Yeah.
Cooper Flagg, but that's it.
There's a renaissance of those two, by the way.
Eight white guys in a game that was in the balance playing last night. I was happy for it. I said, look at the NBA. This is like hockey. Could you imagine hockey? Eight bros out there at once.
I mean, but if they get halves for some of the mixed guys, too, I mean, we'll really start going down the list.
Yeah,
you got Tyrese Halliburton.
Walter Clayton Jr.
Walter Clayton Jr. out there. Clay Thompson.
Eight and a half.
You know, yeah. I mean, they're doing really well. I think that
the Lakers put out five white guys at once yesterday. I couldn't believe it.
I don't think that they necessarily need all of the white guys, but I think it is better when the game is inclusive, when everybody feels involved.
And the other part, Brandon and Tyler, many occasions they're some of the best guys out there.
Yeah.
Luka and AR are the two best players on the floor.
Yep.
Yesterday.
It looks like Chet.
Marketing, Shingun.
Yep. Chet Holmgren's becoming a thing.
Oh, God, you're right. Chet out that OKC team. Yeah. Go look at him. Go look at the Bucks.
They got Alex Caruso
the
over
Bucks
there, too.
The Bucks run a few of them out there. Yeah. It is. I mean, it is.
Don't forget the bald Mamba.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I mentioned. Yeah,
they're Alex rolling Caruso. Out, too. They got and they got Isaiah.
Yeah.
They got three Isaiah. Yeah.
He counts.
He counts.
Yeah.
It is.
He's a swing vote.
Hey, Tyler, do me a favor. Look up who the preseason college basketball player of the year is. I'm certain it's a white guy.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah.
I think it's that white guy from Purdue. I think it is. I mean, Kevin Love ain't played like this since he was in Oregon.
Yeah.
But this many white guys.
Kevin Love's like, finally.
It is great, though.
Got Peyton Pritchard out there. TJ McConnell.
It is great to see. I looked up there. I said, now, hold on now. Did they just sub in? They got four. There's six white guys on this floor right now. When in the last time have we seen this?
Dante DiVincenzo is a starter.
Dante White.
Tyler Hero.
Tyler,
out here in the streets. Duncan Robinson.
Think about it.
Not only was the preseason college basketball favorite for player of the year a white guy, it was Red Nation with Clint and Ginger.
Oh, man.
Named Braden Smith.
Braden Smith.
Went all in there. Braden Smith.
Purdue.
He's got red.
Zach Edey was the guy.
Gordon Hayward walked so these guys could fly.
Yes. Kevin Love is thinking, my God, look at this. Look at this world.
Look
we're
at
in
us.
Now. Kevin Love had to cut his hair low into a fade.
Look at this.
Nikola Jokic is winning MVPs
Come
in
on,
his
man.
Sleep.
Literally,
he's sleepwalking
it's not
to
like
the
they're
MVP.
Just on the like someone texted in. Sounds like Ron wants black versus white in the All-Star game. You could do it, and I think the white team. I don't want no parts. I think the white team may give him a rough for money.
I don't want no
if they're
parts.
Playing a real game
for the first time in decades. Yeah, no melanin.
I don't want to do this. Problem. I know we got to go to break, and I shouldn't do this. But 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch. What would be the starting five and two off the bench if we went All-Star game white versus black in the NBA?
Oh, yeah. Well, two of them are on the Lakers.
Now we're doing race wars?
I'm just saying.
Two
if
of them
they
are on the Lakers.
It,
one of them is Jokic.
I'm trying to put together this lineup and see like what it would be. Like Luka and Jokic, that's a hell of a start.
Luka, Jokic, Austin Reeves.
Does Cooper Flag, has he come off the bench? Is there like I don't even know if Cooper
I think I
want
Caruso
team.
As a connector and
okay,
as a
I don't know, but we're talking about all stars here. Let's text line coming in. Look at Peyton Pritchard getting big
yeah,
minutes.
Yeah, Peyton Pritchard.
You're
yeah,
right.
I him.
That's the whitest name we've said so far.
I'm sorry. I know many of you didn't look like this. Someone texted, are you guys done being racist? I don't think it's racist. I think I'm pointing
Relax.
Out look out there and say man. The NBA is starting to change.
Yeah. How are we being racist
it
by
is
acknowledging
starting to change, and I love,
how the game is expanded?
I love that that is much more inclusive.
Relax, friend. All parties are represented in this conversation
damn,
as
damn,
we have some fun.
This damn Steph Curry. Steph Curry, man.
Repping for both.
LeBron. Steph Curry. That's Peyton Pritchard. Peyton Pritchard looked at Steph and said, I can do that.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Him, Reed Shepard doing the same thing.
Coke, it is.
We call him Cocaine Curry for a reason.
We're clear. I know we got to go to break, but we're clear. It's Jokic, and Luka and his AR.
And Austin Reeves.
Someone said Şengün's got to be in there, right?
Yeah, I don't know if Jokic and Şengün you necessarily.
You're right. That's good. But he's on the bench. He's definitely
on the bench, yeah.
All right, coming up.
What about Porzingis? Is he in there?
I forget about Porzingis.
Porzingis in the mix?
Oh, my God. You're right.
Yeah.
God. These guys are good. Someone then texted and said, let's do what they did this year and add a biracial team.
Yeah. So we have the biracials could definitely make a team, for sure.
Logo so proud right now.
All right, coming up, we will get this team. It is. No, I don't want to bring back segregation. I love it. Braden Smith
it only works because we can all be on the court together. That's why it works.
Oh, my God. I had to count. I had to pull out a pencil. How many guys he's out running out here? It's eight. It is eight deep out here.
I thought y'all had quit.
They had that point when that Jazz Rockets game was more white guys on the court than black guys. I'm sorry, I've not seen that. I've not seen that since Duke and Kansas played each other in the 90s. Yeah. All right, coming up, we'll get to that. And there is some breaking news with one of the biggest stories over the weekend. We'll do that next.
That's what the whites used to do.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Yeah, Con Knipple over there at Charlotte. A maybe too young here. Another late
I think
addition.
He's a star in the making.
He is a stud. That's the other part. If you're just jumping in, and many people are making their move. Someone texted in, Ron the Show Hughley has officially turned into Ron Tater Salad White. That white guy's getting run in NBA is something I expect him to point out while he's drunk on stage. Lacey. Hi, Lacey.
Hey,
I've been thinking about it a lot. I have been thinking about it a lot. And as I said, listen, we're in a renaissance, clearly.
Awakening.
Go bang out a bang out a 2017, 2018 playoff run. Go get it. Go just pull a random game. Just go grab Pistons, Pacers, or whoever, and tell me how many white guys you see enter the floor.
Hey, look, based off of how David Stern was acting in the early 2000s, I thought we had scared him away, making them wear certain clothes, dress codes when they go to the game, and then, of course, the malice in the palace happens. I thought we had scared him away.
No white guys on the floor, I don't believe, during that entire thing. But
Now
not only are we seeing I've said to people, because someone made a great suggestion, should the All-Star game, which they're struggling to figure out what to do with it, should it be the best white team versus the best black team that they could put out? Someone else threw in, maybe we could add a...
turn it into a boxing match.
They had they had the All-Stars, they had the Rising Stars, and then they had another. They had three different
the International
teams.
Stars?
International... and then American Stars and the Rising Stars.
This isn't that much different.
This is the White Stars, Black Stars, and Biracial Stars. Three of them and a round robin, and let's see who wins it. And I see a lot of people rolling. There are a lot of, like, I wouldn't put Grady Dick on here, guys. Grady's not really coming along. Good shooter.
Not on the All-Star team.
Yeah, not on the All-Star team. Guys, someone tried to put Steph Curry on the biracial team. Steph's black. Just really light.
Yeah.
So, yeah, don't get Steph Curry in the biracial team.
Yeah,
we'll have to go and check on Victor Wembanyama.
I was going
to
say, they can hope for the best. They can,
certain there.
They can hope for the best with Reed Shepard, maybe.
But, you got Michael Porter Jr. It's all yours. But the amount of people rolling
he's
in
like,
here.
Gladly.
I'll never forget Bob Sir. I don't care what you say.
No, Bob Sir was something else at Minnesota.
Oh, yeah.
Bobby Jackson and Bob Sir.
Even with the Cavs for a minute. Even with Cleveland for a minute.
When Clem Haskins had a run with a number one seed with Minnesota.
He used to fall out with him on NBA 2K, man.
That was great. Yeah. Someone checked in. I forgot about Franz Wagner.
Wagner, excuse me.
I know that. I know it ain't Wagner.
Yeah.
But it is spelled Wagner. It is spelled Wagner. Yeah. Him and his brother. I remember his brother in Michigan was nice.
Yeah.
I forgot about him. Wagner. He is nice. Austin Reeves, Luka, Tyler Hero coming off the bench. That's a great one. It is crazy. And it is not just that there are more white guys that are on rosters and playing. A lot of them are the best players.
Yeah.
Like, are the best. When Denver plays, They have a white guy, and he's the best player on the floor every time he plays.
So
when the Lakers play, they got two white guys that may challenge maybe last night, the first quarter, AR was the second best player, was the third best player. But then when Devin, who would be on the biracial team, by the way, Devin Booker, when Devin Booker got hurt, then it was AR.
Yeah. So I got my lineup.
Oh, God. You put one together.
I got my lineup. I'm going a backcourt of Tyler Hero and Luka.
You're really putting it together, shooter. Yeah,
I got Tyler Hero and Luka. Well, you wouldn't let me go with my defender, Alex Caruso. You said he wasn't good enough. So let's go Tyler Hero and Luka. Let's go Austin Reeves.
Wow, that would have been my backcourt.
I think all three of them can kind of interchange. Then I go Lloyd Markkanen and Jokic. Those are my five.
Mine would have been Austin Reeves and Luka in the backcourt. I would have gone defense, a little physicality with Caruso.
Okay.
In there as my three. And I know you love Caruso. What is he, White Mamba? Is that what he's called? I go Caruso, and then I'm with you. Jokic Bald and Markkanen.
Yeah.
I like that. Şengün would be off the bench for me. Man.
And Şengün could easily start on his team if Jokic wasn't
easily,
there.
Easily. Yeah, easily. Yeah.
Wow. I am so happy.
Fantastic.
Yeah, wow. I'd do that.
That's great. By the way, breaking news. Charlie Weiss Jr., who was the offensive coordinator for the Ole Miss Rebels, who is now going to be the offensive coordinator for the LSU Tigers.
Also a white guy.
Yep, white guy as well. Yeah. I don't know about his jump shot. But
a Nepo baby-like lane.
Also, for some reason, not confirmed. He has been watching a lot more NBA lately. Charlie Weiss Jr., he is one that got on the plane with Lane Kiffin. Charlie Weiss sends out a tweet himself. I'm grateful to LSU for allowing me the opportunity to finish this season with Ole Miss. Coach Kiffin and the LSU administration have been nothing but supportive. I'm excited about the playoff run. So breaking news, he is going to be allowed to be the offensive coordinator for Ole Miss during their playoff run. Also going to be a part of the LSU staff at the same time. But what they did not allow Lane to do, they're going to allow the OC to do.
Yeah, so. I get it. At the end, they started kind of patting down their pockets. They realized, like, hey, man, wait a minute. Somebody loan me a 10? Hey, where's that offensive? We lost all of our offensive mind, like out of here. So, yeah, letting Lane coach would have been crazy. I get why they're trying to hedge a little bit and at least have their offensive coordinator while they try to make this playoff run.
Hey, they had to move quick because they had to do this before that college football ranking show tonight.
Yeah.
Because people have been looking at them bylaws like, hey, yo, what they look like without their offensive staff?
Right.
is that the same team, the offensive staff?
They're going to call their own plays from the huddle? How that's going to work?
Someone texted in, I'm having a hard time. Is it certain that Trae Young is the starter on the biracial team at point guard?
I think, is Trae Young not black, just fully black? No. Just with a weird kind of hair?
You know Rayford Young slid over? I don't think so. I think Trae Mama white man.
Okay.
Certain of it. Yeah.
Well, then, yeah, he would definitely be on the biracial team. He'd probably be
the starting point guard? Someone just texted in, I'm getting confused. Is there somebody else I'm missing? I think Trae would be the starter on the biracial team.
I think so. Yes.
Have to think on that. Tyrese
Halliburton, if he was healthy.
Oh.
Could be it.
Oh, yeah, it is Halliburton.
Yeah.
It would be Halliburton.
If Halliburton doesn't have the Achilles.
Yeah, it is Tyrese. It's him. Good call.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, it's Tyrese Halliburton.
This would be a great, I would be down for this. In your spare time, go ahead and put together the biracial team as well.
And we have Wimby confirmed because he's.
I do not. Clearly, that changes the game.
Yeah.
If Wimby is not biracial, that changes the game. Tyler just gave me a heads up. I like my team, what Tyler said. Which one's your team, Tyler?
I did not say that. I'm going to have these texters wanting my head on a stick.
Trust me, they're going to want your head. Coming up, a little 5 o'clock fire. The Texans made a roster move. What does that mean? We just talked about it. The college football playoff poll will come out tonight. What will it mean for Texas? How far will A&M drop? And then the Notre Dame-Miami situation. And then we'll actually look at not just who was on the floor, but the Rockets. They took an L to the Jazz. What does that mean? We'll discuss all of that as we continue right here live on the drive.
I'm always good raw dog in the drive.